Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 31st of December, and I'm recording at 9:41 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time in windy and wet London. Now, a very happy new year to all of our subscribers. And on this last day of the year, as I record this audio, well, it's been pretty much of a damp squib year, hasn't it? I said that I would run through what had actually performed best in terms of the indices here at the end, and I'm in a slightly embarrassing position in that Bloomberg has chosen to change the screen for the Asia-Pacific region because, of course, they're starting off the new year now. So I don't have the exact figures, but what we do know is that Japan was certainly higher on the year, so was China, and Taiwan also, I believe. India, very much a long-term favorite of mine, though took a rest, but it was down less than 10% on the BSE Sensex Index and the Nifty 50 Index. And giving you the figures from the main indices from Europe and also the Americas here, lots of red in terms of U.S. dollar gains in U.S. dollars. And incidentally, what I was mentioning for Japan and China, they were up in U.S. dollar terms on the year. But looking at Europe, well, only Italy has shown a gain over the last 12 months in U.S. dollars, and it's up 1.21%. Just to mention also the German DAX index down just over 1.5% on the year, and the Euro Stoxx 50 is certainly down more, down down 6.7% in U.S. dollars. But then we go to Wall Street, and the only indices that are higher here are the NASDAQ Composite, among the main stock market, diversified stock market indices. NASDAQ indices are higher, with the NASDAQ Composite up 5.73%. And you might know that Wall Street was down here on the last day of the year. The S&P closed down with three quarters of a percentage point on the year, and the Dow down 2.25% on the year. So again, we sort of limped out of 2015. And what might we expect in 2016? Well, my guess is that it'll probably be choppy, but somewhat better overall. Why the optimism when there are so many factors that people are worried about? And my short answer to that is that first, I don't see the factors in place that cause major bear markets here overall. A lot of people have said that the U.S. bull market is too old in its seventh year, but bull markets don't die of old age. They usually die of monetary tightening, and it takes more than one or two hikes in interest rates to really qualify as monetary tightening. So overall, globally, monetary conditions remain generally positive. And not least in when I was talking about the Asia-Pacific region, I'm mentioning China and mentioning also Japan. They are major beneficiaries of accommodative monetary policies. Interest rates remain generally low. Of course, inflation's generally low, and people have been fearing disinflation and deflation. My view on that is that will change as we see a pickup in commodity indices. How close are we to that actually happening? Well, Owen and I feel that we're very much in a bottoming area, and the charts are showing some evidence of bottoming activity overall. You look at something like crude oil, and you can't really say that it shows clear evidence of a recovery, but it is extremely overextended on the downside. And we know that at these very low levels that producers are under real pressure. So I think the model of trying to produce more oil to sell at lower prices is clearly not working for them. And I do expect, one of my big forecasts for next year is that we will get some attempt, led by the Saudis probably, to pull together OPEC members and some non-OPEC members just to cut supply. Overall, in terms of commodity prices, supply is the key variable, as you will have heard me say over and over. So the commodities that are doing well this year, cocoa, for instance, have had crop problems. Sugar, also affected by crop problems, and that really ranges from India to the USA right now, where there's some extremely wet conditions. And therefore, we're getting some of the agricultural commodities beginning to push up, and I think we will see at least a moderate recovery in many commodity prices as 2016 actually develops. Now, what about global bond markets and the U.S. yield here today? It was a little bit fraction lower at 2.269%. 2.269%. VIX was also higher. It actually touched, moved above 20 very briefly today. It closed at 18.27. That's still up almost a point on the day overall. So that will confirm what I haven't actually spelled out today, but that we did see a decline of on average of 1% on the U.S. indices here today in a generally weak day for many stock markets. And that has certainly contributed to that small decline in the U.S. bond yields. But my feeling is very much that when you look at the long-term charts of government bond indices, that we see the characteristics. First, you've got the 35-year bull market reflected by falling yields. So huge bull market, one of the biggest in history, and we have seen these indices, for the most part, lose downside momentum and are with the U.S. Treasuries. More importantly, we're seeing the beginnings of a slowly ranging upward trend. Now, it's not decisive in the sense that it has not, if you look at the last 35 years action, it has not broken decisively the downward trend, but we have this historically low level, we have this loss of downside momentum, this gradually rising ranging lows, to mention that again, and I think that unless we get a very depressed global economic environment, bond yields almost certainly do have to go up. Now, some people are quite pessimistic about what we're likely to see from GDP growth in 2016. Myself, I'm a little more optimistic. I think we will see the U.S. continue in its gradual recovery, provided, and this is a big proviso, provided it can keep the U.S. dollar under control. That won't be easy because you have the U.S. Gradually tightening monetary policy while you have many other countries continuing with quantitative easing and being quite happy to see their currencies actually weaken somewhat further, so using policies that will contribute to that. But a little bit of astute intervention by the U.S. Treasury on the Fed's behalf should be able to keep the dollar in check for a while longer, I feel, and ideally until we start to see clearer evidence of GDP recovery in other parts of the world, really from Europe right around to China and the Asia-Pacific region generally. And so I'm not overly pessimistic on global GDP growth in here. I think it's more likely to improve in 2016 than not. And other contributing factors to that, it's certainly not just based on optimism, but monetary conditions, again, remain favorable. People say that's pushing on a piece of string. It's not doing all that much. But I think that's a little bit too pessimistic overall here. And what we should see again is just a general pickup benefiting not least from the big drop in commodity prices generally. The fact that OPEC, on today's levels for crude, some analysts estimate that that's a $3 trillion per annum loss to oil exporters, were oil prices to remain at these current levels of just over $37 for Brent. So $3 trillion. Not going to the oil producers, but staying in the hands of the oil importers, that's a very positive stimulus overall, and I think that will be reflected in a stronger global economy. And again, monetary policies will remain accommodative until we actually see that occur. I don't think the deflationary fears will be borne out, if we get a recovery in commodity prices, which I've already said I do expect a modest recovery in commodity prices this year, that will actually push inflation data slightly higher. So I think that's risky for bond markets. I don't think that will do any harm to stock markets. It actually should help stock markets somewhat, and thus leading to a somewhat better year in equity performance than we've seen in 2015. Now, on that note, well, heck, it's New Year's Eve. You're probably... Well, I won't hazard a guess on whether you're able to listen to this or when you're actually able to listen to it, but I'll just repeat again. Have a very, very happy New Year, and Owen and I certainly look forward to being in touch with subscribers whenever you want to contact us and producing our copy over the next 12 months in what will no doubt be an interesting and challenging environment, and I trust also profitable more often than not. On that note, all the best to all of you.